Now, you can be deceived by riches if you got a lot of money, and you can be deceived by riches if you've got no money. Being deceived by riches is you saying, what am I going to do to get ahead? What am I going to do to get more money?
Where do you place your trust? Throughout Scripture, we're instructed to place our trust in God and not on this world or its systems. Join Jeremy Pearsons today on The Believer's Voice of Victory as he uncovers hidden truths concerning true riches.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to The Believer's Voice of Victory broadcast. I'm Jeremy Pearsons, and it's been my honor to fill in for my grandparents, Kenneth and Gloria Copeland, as they travel and minister the Word of God. I'm so thankful they've asked me to do this, and I'm thankful to be with you. Wherever you're watching this, wherever you're listening to it, I hope you are just enjoying the presence of God wherever you are and allowing the Word of God to get down on the inside of you, because when it gets in you, then it can come out of you, and then it can begin to change the world around you. Let's pray. We'll get right back into the Word of God today. Father, we give you glory and honor. So thankful, Lord, for your Word. We love this book. We love what's in it. We love the life that's in it. And we are fully persuaded that it has all the ability that it needs to change our lives forever. Ask, Father, today for eyes that see, ears that hear, and hearts that understand. Holy Ghost, give us utterance in these things. Be our teacher today. And I know as you are, we'll learn things that change our lives forever. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Let's go back to Matthew chapter 13. And as we begin to wrap this up, I want to remind you that my wife, Sarah, is going to be with us on tomorrow's broadcast. And there's some things that she began last Friday that I know she's very eager to get out to you. And again, she's just preaching them to me. And it's some exciting things. There's a lot of revelation there that I know will bring change to you, especially in the area of the healing of your body. So make sure you make a special note to be a part of those broadcasts tomorrow. But Matthew chapter 13, as we begin to wrap up our study in what Jesus communicated as the parable of the sower, or the sower sows the word, we're answering this question. When we know all that's in the Word of God, all the life that's in it, all the power that's in it, the worlds are upheld by the word of His power. We know that. We know that His Word is forever settled in heaven. We know that Jesus is the Word made flesh. And if all this life is in the Word of God, what could possibly keep it from working and producing in somebody's life? Now, I know that's a tough question, and it may be one that we don't like to preach about. We don't like to talk about too much. It's a little bit easier just to say the Word works, and it does work. But what about the people that are saying, hey, it's not working for me? Well, here's what we're doing. We're drawing our attention back to the Word, and we're allowing it to answer our questions, and not popular opinion, not traditional ways of thinking, not old religious ways of thinking, but letting the Word of God fight its own battle. You know, it's not your job to get yourself healed. It's your job to get the Word in you and let it do the healing. And that's what the Word is capable of doing. So Jesus, in this parable, Matthew 13, also in Mark 4 and Luke 8, several key things in here. The parable of the sower. He begins the whole thing by saying, behold, listen, look. This whole thing has to do with what you see and what you hear. And if you see Jesus in it, if you see Him as the sower who sows the Word, because any revelation you need begins with the revelation of who He is in you and who you are in Him. A revelation of Jesus as the Christ, the Son of the living God, has everything to do with what you see and what you hear. He said, these people see, but they don't perceive. Hearing, they don't hear. They don't understand. It's like looking into a situation. If you don't know what you're looking at, there you stand looking at it, but you can't make any sense of it. What do you need? You need eyes to see through it, ears to hear through it. And Jesus said to His disciples, blessed are your eyes, for you see, blessed are your ears, for you hear. And He goes on to explain in verse 18, He says, hear the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom, does not understand it, we've established that means they don't value it. When if you don't understand something, then you don't understand what it's worth. You don't comprehend its value. If you hear the Word of God preached, but you don't comprehend the value of it, and you don't decide that you're going to place that above symptoms, if you don't decide you're going to place that above situations, you don't value it more than that, then it can't produce. If you don't value the Word that says, by His stripes you were healed, if you don't value that above symptoms, then symptoms will win. If you don't value the Word that says, my God shall supply all your need according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus, you notice all this is by and through Jesus. If you don't value that above, I'm in debt, I've got bills, people are calling. If you don't value that Word above that, then you'll live down there your entire life. And you may say, well, I've heard that scripture, but it's not working for me. As long as you're saying, but it's not working, then it can't work. But as soon as you take that scripture and say, that's the Word of God, that's my answer, that's going to be my life. I don't care what my experience is. I'm going to hold on to this. I'm going to get it down on the inside, and I'm going to let it come out of my mouth because the words of my mouth are powerful. When you make that decision to live that way, you're saying this, I value this so much that I will live until it becomes my experience. That's how you value and understand the Word of God. Let's go on. He says, he who receives seed on stony places is he who hears the Word and immediately receives it with joy. Oh, I heard a great message. Yes, amen, Brother Jeremy. Yes, amen. Oh, that's good. That's great. Amen, amen. When you get outside the context and the environment where the Word is being preached, what happened? He said there was no root, didn't get down deep, and persecution arose, tribulation arose, for the Word's sake, and immediately he stumbled. In other words, he took what God said about him, and he took what other people said about him, and he put him on the same plane. And even though I've heard God is love and He loves me, I also heard that this guy hates me. That's persecution, tribulation, for the Word's sake. And somebody who does that and tries to put those on the same level will always, their attention will always go to what others have said about him. But when you value the Word of God and you root yourself deep in how much He loves you, you elevate it above what anybody else says about you. Paul said it like this, we're pressed, we're pressured, persecuted, pressured on every side, but we're not crushed. He said, we're persecuted, but we are not abandoned. That's somebody who's elevated the closeness of the relationship with God above what others have said about him, and that's the individual that the Word of God will work for. Amen? Jesus goes on in verse 22, and this is what I want to wrap this up with today. Now he who receives seed among the thorns is he who hears the Word, and the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, Mark's gospel adds this, the desire for other things, choke the Word, and he becomes unfruitful. Again, the Word got sown. All the power that was in it, all the life that was inherent and intrinsic in the Word got sown. And for the third time in a row, it got sown without any fruit. Nothing came as a result of it. What is it that kept the Word from producing in this person's life? Jesus identified it. He said, this is he who receives seed among the thorns. What's Jesus doing? He's painting a picture here. He's using the natural elements of the world, the natural elements of the earth, to paint a picture of what's already going on in the world of the Spirit, in the realm of the Spirit. And he identified thorns. That's important. They were thorns. And what did he say were the thorns? The thorns were the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, and Mark's gospel adds the desire for other things. He calls these three things thorns. Now, I want to give you a modern way of thinking about these things. Number one, he said the cares of this world. That is you and I saying, what am I going to do? The cares of this world are all of those things that have tried to circle you and entrench you and come in around you so much to the point where you just stop and say, what am I going to do? What am I going to do about this relationship? What am I going to do about my job? What am I going to do about my kids? What am I going to do about my finances? What am I going to do about the diagnosis from the doctor? All of these situations crowding you to the point where you say, what am I going to do? That's the cares of this world. And Jesus identified it as a thorn that would keep the word from working. Now again, get the picture here. This person, he's a sower. He's somebody who's familiar with sowing and reaping. Now anybody who's familiar with any of that knows that you don't go sow a seed where thorns are all on top of the ground. No, that's not what the situation was. Jesus said the thorns sprang up. So in other words, the seed of that thorn, the beginning of that thorn was already in the ground. It was already there, but it was underneath the surface. And just like the one who sowed on stony ground, he didn't put seed out there where there was a bunch of rocks. Anybody knows you don't do that. Stony ground was that layer of stony earth just below that layer of dirt. So the seed went in, but it couldn't get a deep root because of the stone. Well, the same thing applies here. The seed went into the ground, but the thorn also sprang up. The cares of the world also sprang up. So get the picture there. Cares of this world, or what am I going to do? Deceitfulness of riches. That's a covetous way of thinking. Now you can be deceived by riches if you got a lot of money, and you can be deceived by riches if you've got no money. Being deceived by riches is you saying, what am I going to do to get ahead? What am I going to do to get more money? So the cares of this world are saying, what am I going to do? The deceitfulness of riches is you saying, what can I do to have more, to get more, to acquire more? And there are poor people with no money being deceived by riches every day, thinking that if I just had more, if I just had more, if I just had money, if I just had money, I'd be happy. If I just had money, our marriage would be okay. If we just had money, I'd be okay in this world. That is the deceitfulness of riches, and it's a covetous way of thinking. And it's a thorn. Jesus identified it as a thorn that was already in the earth. This is a way of thinking that was naturally already in the earth. And the last one that Mark 4 adds is this, the desire for other things. Again, a covetous way of thinking. Everything that Jesus identified here has its root in covetousness. What am I going to do? In other words, I need more than what I've got to make me happy. I need more money than what I have to make me happy. Or desire for other things, not being content, not being satisfied with what the Lord has so freely and richly blessed you with, and thinking, oh no, this is nice, but I need that. And you coming, you acquiring something, but then your eyes get off that and you see what somebody else has. Oh, I need that. All of these things are thorns that were already in the earth. That's what I'm trying to communicate to you here. They weren't sitting out there on top. The seed of the Word of God got planted in the ground that was already being shared with these ways of thinking. I need you to see that. What am I going to do? What am I going to do to get ahead? What can I do to have that? Three covetous ways of thinking that were already in the ground. And what did Jesus call them? This is important. Thorns. It's these thorns that sprang up and choked the word, and it became unfruitful. So you have the seed of the word growing, and you have the seed of these thorns growing. And they're trying to grow in the same ground. And the seed of the word that is capable of producing has been rendered useless because it's been choked out by these ways of thinking. Listen to Genesis chapter 3, verse 17. I'm going to take you to the very first place thorns ever showed up. You can turn there and look at this with me if you'd like. Genesis chapter 3, verse 17. Then God said to Adam, because you have heeded the voice of your wife, and have eaten from the tree of which I commanded you, saying, you shall not eat of it, cursed is the ground for your sake. in toil you shall eat of it all the days of your life. Verse 18, both thorns and thistles it shall bring forth for you, and you will eat the herb of the field. In the sweat of your face will you eat bread. Now, I hope you catch this. Watch this. Because of sin, when man sinned against God, that set a whole other world in motion. Immediately, the world fell from grace, and it set the world of toiling in motion. It set the world of striving in motion. And God said, because of this, this is what's going to happen. He said, both thorns and thistles, it, what is it? The earth naturally is going to bring forth this. Now, before I had seen this scripture, I made a phone call one day as I was studying this. There's a guy in our church I'm friends with, friends a long time, been here a long time. He's a young guy that's had an agriculture business since he was in high school. And that was 15, 20 years ago probably. And he has educated himself about these things. And I called him and I was talking to him. I said, man, tell me where thorns come from. Because I know you don't go buy thorn seed. Nobody wants thorns on their property. And he said, funny you should ask. He's now in the ranching business and buys and sells ranches. He says, I'm standing on a ranch right now and I'm getting ready to clear out these thorns. He said, I'm having to call a bulldozer in just to get rid of all the thorns that are on this property. And I said, well, where do they come from? And he said, you know, honestly, the earth just does it. The earth just produces it. And then I found this scripture, and God said the earth is going to produce that. In other words, there is, without us even trying, there is a natural way about this earth, and it naturally produces thorns. It naturally yields thorns and thistles. And because of those thorns, God said to Adam, you'll eat the herb of the field, but it will be in the sweat of your face that you eat bread. In other words, if you want it, you got to work for it. I can't freely give it to you anymore. This is what God said to Adam. He said, Adam, you had it all, man. You had everything. All of it was my gift to you. All of it was my grace to you. You didn't have to work it. I just wanted you to tend the garden, just to enjoy it, just to enjoy the beauty of it and freely eat of anything you wanted but this one tree. But because you didn't do what I asked you to do, you can't have what I want you to have. And now, because of that, the earth itself is going to begin to bring forth thorns. The earth itself, a very natural process has begun. No more supernatural involvement. Now nature itself is taking over and it's bringing forth thorns. And God said to Adam, if you want to eat bread, you're going to have to work for it. And it will, these are key words. I hope you hear this. I hope you have eyes that see and ears that hear this and a heart that understands. Verse 19, in the sweat of your face, you'll eat bread. Now you put that together with what Jesus said about thorns in Matthew chapter 13, and you find that it was Genesis chapter 3, verse 17, 18, and 19, where the cares of this world were introduced. There was never a care. Before this moment in time, Adam and Eve never had a care. They never had a worry. Do you think they were walking around that garden with God saying, what are we going to do? How are we going to have more? God, these are beautiful trees and it's beautiful fruit, but really, God, is it enough? Oh, we better do something for more. We better do something so we never run out. Do you think they had those cares? Absolutely not. Never a care. But when sin came, when man separated himself from God, that's when the cares of this world came in. And like I said to you, the earth naturally produced these thorns. And in the same way that it physically produced thorns, there is a natural, carnal way of thinking that if it goes unchecked, it will just naturally produce these thoughts. What am I going to do? If you do not check that thought with the Word of God and what the Word has said, you will naturally go to, what am I going to do? How am I going to make it? How am I going to make a living? And all of this is key. It was in the sweat of Adam's face that he was going to eat. But check this out. Jesus came. Jesus came, and as our Redeemer, as the giver of grace, as the one who came and said, take your rest in me, what's he saying? You'll eat, but it'll be by the sweat of my brow. That's what Jesus is saying to you and I today. And it's no longer the sweat of your brow that you eat and that God supplies. It's not, God's supply is not you working for it. It's not the sweat that you sweat. It's the drops of blood that Jesus sweat in the Garden of Gethsemane before he went to the cross. It's by that sweat that you and I eat. It's by his work. It's by his effort. But you listen to me. If you take that seed of the Word of God and you try to plant it in the same ground as you, depending on yourself to earn it, it won't produce. The seed of grace will not share ground with the seed of the thorns of you, depending on you to earn it. Romans chapter 4 says it's not by works. If it was by works, then it would be debt. And God is not in debt to you. It's not by your works that he saved you. It is by the free gift of grace. I'm going to tell you something, though. They don't mix. You cannot mix them. And yeah, you've heard a lot of good word about what God wants to provide for you, but the moment you try to mix that, you try to plant that same seed where these natural thoughts, these covetous way of thinking is already taking place in you, and it's like, okay, yeah, I know. Okay, God gave us everything in Jesus. Yeah. But I just don't have enough, and I got to work for this, and I got to sweat for this. I'm not telling you quit your job. I'm changing your motivation for doing your job. There's hard work for you and I out there, but it's not hard work to earn something. We work hard in the kingdom of God because of the honor it is to give our lives to something so precious. This is why perhaps the Word isn't providing for you like it's capable of doing. When you try to mix it with the sweat of your brow, it won't work. When you try to live in the New Testament under an old covenant way of thinking, it won't work. Those are two mindsets that when you mix them, they don't produce. And what did the book of James say? Do you remember this? He said, if any man lacks wisdom, let him ask of God who gives to all men, generously, liberally, and without reproach. Isn't that good news? God gives. Just ask and God gives. But here's the key. Let him ask in faith, not doubting. For he who doubts is like the surf of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. Now listen to these words. Let not that man expect he would receive anything from God, being a double-minded man. Here's what keeps God from being able to produce in your life. It's two ways of thinking. The way of thinking that says, oh yes, God has provided all through Jesus, and the way of thinking that says, what am I going to do? How can I get that? I need more. This covetous way of thinking, and when you mix them, they don't produce. The natural way of thinking will choke the Word of God from being able to produce in your life. But when you ask in faith, knowing how much you're loved, and with a value system that exalts the Word of God above everything else, then it can work in your life. Don't go anywhere. I'll be back in just a moment.
Come to these exciting meetings. You're invited to join Kenneth and Gloria Copeland for the Branson Victory Campaign, the 3rd through 5th of March at Faith Life Church in Branson, Missouri. The Southwest Believers Convention will be the 4th through 9th of July, 2011 at the Fort Worth Convention Center in Fort Worth, Texas. Pastor Terry Pearson's will be at the Toronto Spirit-Led Prayer Conference, September 28th through 30th, Toronto, Ontario, Canada. For more information, go to kcm.org.
The Word works, and it's all I need. This newly repackaged teaching by Kenneth Copeland is an in-depth study into the ministry of Jesus and the parable of the sower. It's a timeless four-part series that will remind you of the unlimited power of the Word of God and its ability to anchor you in any situation. Learn how God's Word can bring you victory and produce the desired results in your life. When you order this product, you'll receive strength and beauty in the presence of the healer, the brand new music CD from Sarah Hart Pearson's.
We know that worship brings us into the presence of the Lord. But my desire in making this music is to help us recognize that when we're in His presence, we're in the presence of the healer.
This CD is yours free when you purchase the audio teaching series, The Word Works, and It's All I Need.
Make the decision to put the Word of God first. Kenneth Copeland's teaching on The Word Works and It's All I Need is a great place to start. Order this series for just $20, and as a bonus, we'll send you free the newest worship CD by Sarah Hart Pearson's Strength and Beauty in the Presence of the Healer. Surround yourself with the Word of God with this teaching series and worship CD. They make great gifts, so order several for your family and friends. For an additional product discount and faster processing, purchase your copies at kcm.org.
It's easy to look around you and come up with a big list of what you think you need, but I heard my grandfather say a long time ago on a message he preached years ago, he said, "You could drop me in the middle of downtown with either my britches or my Bible, and I would choose my Bible because I can get a new pair of britches if I got my Bible, if I got the Word." And that's pretty much a direct quote. But the fact is that it's true. The Word is what you need. The Word works, and it's all I need. This is a CD series by my grandfather, Kenneth Copeland, and it's sayings like that really shook people a long time ago, and it is still shaking people today, and it's shaking the kingdom of darkness today, and you need to get a hold of some of these things because it'll shake your life and get you set on solid ground. But when you purchase this, KCM, this is a giving ministry, and we want to give to you strength and beauty in the presence of the healer. Sarah Hart Pearson's is my wife, and when the Lord put her in my life, He put some of the most beautiful music I've ever heard, some of the most anointed music, and this is already working in the lives of people that are getting a hold of it. Every song on this CD is designed to draw your attention to Jesus, your healer. You've got symptoms in your body or you've been diagnosed, you need to value things like this and things like these teaching materials. Get a hold of them. They'll be a blessing to you. They'll work in your life. Don't try to mix. Don't try to mix the seed of grace with the seed of you depending on yourself to earn it. You depend on Jesus. And you learn to depend on people around you who are anointed to pray with you. KCM, Kenneth Copeland Ministries, has anointed prayer ministers to pray with you and to serve you. So if you ever need prayer, you call us. And our office here in Fort Worth is open day or night to the world here around us. But if you live somewhere else in the world, you can check the other offices that we have in your area, and they have hours of operation, and they are there to be a blessing to you and to pray with you. I want you to make sure that you join me on tomorrow's broadcast, because my wife Sarah will be here ministering the Word of God, and it's going to change your world. But until then, this is Jeremy Pearson's reminding you, God loves you, we love you, and Jesus is Lord.
Thank you for joining us on the Believer's Voice of Victory. To purchase today's broadcasts on DVD or CD, go to our website at kcm.org or call toll-free 800-600-7395. Tomorrow on the Believer's Voice of Victory.
The body of Christ cannot afford to hide away in the shadows anymore.
Mm-mm.
We are called to affect and change this world. The only way you're going to do that is get out there in it.
Yes.
That's the only way it's going to happen. But don't get out there in it unless you're hidden in Him.